All right. Thank you so much, Lynn, and also Lewis, for the last few hours. Thanks all for being here for another Sunday morning service at Awakening Together in our sanctuary, as we do every Sunday. And it's my privilege to be our minister this morning. And I didn't really know what the topic was going to be until Friday, and I guess I've been saying for some time that Holy Spirit always gives me everything I need when I need it, and we'll see how that works. Today's topic is All I Want is the Peace of God. All I Want is the Peace of God. And Dolores Mavens is my reader. Thank you so much, Dolores, for asking to be the reader. Yes. Okay, as we usually do at this opening session, thanks everyone who's listening in on the radio, if you are listening in on the radio, and I know a few of you are listening from as far away as Pakistan and as far away as Missoula, Montana. Maybe that's not so far away, but they say they listen in, and just want to give a big hi to our radio listeners as well. Right now we are going to do what we usually do, which is to send our greetings, our hugs, our warm blessings to all who are gathered, and actually to send them throughout the universe. There's not anything of any loving thought that you have that is not heard by all. So right now I'm going to put on a little music. Usually I ask Lynn to be our music director. I'm going to be using some music from Grace. From Scott Grace Kallikstein, lift our hearts. So right now we'll be listening to Scott Kallikstein, and this is an opportunity to say hello to everybody as if you were right here, right now, in person. Okay. I'll just send out the first blessings of peace and love and light and laughter. Thank you all. Lift our hearts. Okay, as we usually do, we take a look at Awakening Together's purpose and our core values. And today's, I picked out something that I usually pick out over the other four of the five core values. But let's first take a look at purpose. Purpose is that we are an assembly of equals. There's that word equal. Joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, many symbols, we seek to discern one truth. I like that word, discern. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Yeah. What a great purpose that is. And I remember when we all met out in Colorado with Regina to come up with the purpose and the core values, and it came up really through consensus. There was a consensus, and our core values also came from consensus. We have five core values, and this is an invitation, if you're not a
Dove, you are so low, hardly anyone can hear you. Could you please turn up your mic? Thank you very much.
Oh, maybe it wasn't even on the mic. I don't know. It isn't low now, is it? Hello? Is it low now? Hello? It's okay. Still low. How is it still low? let's see. Oh, I understand why it's low. I have two different microphones here. And of course I picked up the wrong microphone. Okay, very good. Thank you so much, Barb, for interrupting and putting me right back on. You nut, you. Yes, takes a nut to know a nut. All righty, we're back here live again. Thank you so much for reminding me. Picked up the wrong microphone. And I was saying that, I guess you never heard the purpose. The purpose of Awakening Together is that we are an assembly of equals. The word equal is very much part of today's topic. Joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self, as we are within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, many symbols, yet we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And of the five core values, I'm choosing number two, which I actually posted on the board just a little earlier, and I think I'll do it again right now, and that is that we realize that everyone is equal. Everyone is equal. The key word here is equal. And no one has been given spiritual intuition that's an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. In other words, you all have equal access to truth. For there is one truth, and we are all the children of that one truth. We all have and are that one truth. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. Very important, it's he or she is. We see all as the same. Whether it's a he or a she, we are all equal. Okay. And I did want to say again, if you're not already a member of Awakening Together, please take a look. And maybe, Barb, you put up the link where someone can take a look at what it takes to become a member, to take a look at our five core values. And if you are in agreement with those five core values, please do become a member. We'd love to have you join us as a member. If you're listening on the radio, just go to awakening-together.org and then go to on the menu bar on the top, join us, become a member, and you'll see the choice. And once you see that you agree with our five core values, and if you are on a path of awakening and remembering the one truth, I'm sure the five core values will speak to you very loudly, and you'll say, yes, I would like to be a member of Awakening Together. Okay, a couple of quick announcements. First announcement is tonight at 8 o'clock, right here at Awakening Together Sanctuary, we're going to be having the five candidates or nominees for directorship on our board of directors, and I did serve as a director a couple years ago, and I can tell you that it's not only an honor and a privilege, but you really do get to make some really important decisions for Awakening Together and for its members. And we do have five candidates that have been nominated by their by our co-members, and they're going to be speaking tonight and telling you why they would like to be a director of Awakening Together. I just voted yesterday, and I guess I also publicly announced who I voted for, because in my own way, I don't really think there are any secrets, and maybe we even speak about that a little bit later. So please join us tonight at 8 p.m. right here at Awakening Together, a very important meeting with Regina Dawn Akers leading. The other announcement I'd like to make is this is the last few days, if you are thinking at all of going to the Course in Miracles conference in Las Vegas, which is next April 8th, 9th, and 10th. This is the last few days to get the opening price of $449, which basically is available until July 1. Then it goes to almost $500, literally. And when you go there, just mention that you heard it through Regina Dawn Akers and Awakening Together, so that Awakening Together will get the credit. It's a wonderful way, if you are going, to also make a financial contribution to Awakening Together. Just give the credit to Regina Dawn Akers. Thank you all who are going. We'll be seeing you there. And of course, we have some of the most fabulous presenters there. Of course, Regina will be there. David Hoffmeister, Gary Renard, John Mundy, Earl Purdy, Amy Torres, Nuke Sanchez will be making her first appearance there. So it's going to be at the Rio Hotel in Las Vegas, which is about a mile from the Strip. It's all suites, as a matter of fact, as I understand. It's $99 a night there, which is really, wow, what a bargain. I mean, compared to last conference in New York, where it was $199. The $449 includes all food, all the meals that are served during that Friday through Sunday afternoon. So please join us. We look forward to seeing you. I'll be one of the presenters there, along with my sharing partner, Veronica Gabrielle. Okay. I think that's it for announcements for right now. Although I would also mention, of course, if Barb wants to put up the link for our meetings, the end of October into November in Colorado Springs. It's going to be two weekends in a full week. So there's a fall retreat, and you can go to any one of those three or all of them. Some people who are traveling a long distance want to maybe attend all three, which probably last 10, 11 days. And I think that would be a wonderful way to spend 10 or 11 days, for sure. So that's a good time to sign up for that as well. Okay. Right now I'm going to turn this mic over in a moment to Dolores Mavens, who I asked who would like to be the reader, and she said I would, and I thank you so much, grateful for your enthusiasm and your willingness, Dolores, as always. I had just found something that actually the last couple of days, as always, Holy Spirit always gives me exactly what it is that I need. That's pretty much my experience, that whatever you need to be truly helpful will be given to you to be truly helpful. I didn't really know what my topic was going to be this particular weekend. And then on Friday, a lot of things happened. There was a Supreme Court decision saying that for a more perfect union, that all are going to be considered equal under the law, and that was really a vote for equality, and of course, many of you know that that I always talk about equality and the peace of God, because they are one and the same in truth. So just as I was about to take that topic on, I see this this memo from David Hoffmeister from his new book, or it was not really a new book, but it's called Awakening Through A Course in Miracles from David Hoffmeister, Purpose is the Only Choice. And I saw it and I said, wow, what a great opportunity for a reading. And I sent it over to Dolores for a reading, and you're going to be hearing it directly as Dolores reads this section taken out from his book. My topic is called All I Want is the Peace of God, and now you'll see why we chose this as our reading. Dolores, this mic is all yours. Thank you so much.
Good morning. Can I get a mic check? Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. And thank you, Dove, for giving me the opportunity to read. I'm just so grateful for Awakening Together being here as helpful guidance to me all day, every day. And I'm just really grateful for it. And I just wanted to say quite real quickly, you know, we were talking about equality and the Supreme Court decision, and I just wanted to say, from if most people don't know, I'm African American, and out of the uprisings from here in Baltimore, we didn't call them riots here, we call it an uprising, that out of that, I had the opportunity to join a group of descendants of slave owners and descendants of slaves. And it's a group called Coming to the Table, where that we can get together and do more healing around the whole race issue and relationship issues. So I just think it's an amazing, you know, an amazing group, an amazing idea to come to the table together. So just a lot of healing going on. And now I just lost my page. Okay, now I got it. So, okay, the reading is from Awakening Through A Course. Some Miracles from David Hoffmeister. Purpose is the only choice. A really main point. Just say and mean, I want peace. I want it more than anything else. I'm going to drop all my masks. I see that in order to drop them, I'm going to have to look at them. I want to see the masks for what they are. I want to discern the false from the true. To be right-minded. What a precious opportunity this is. Out of all the things you think you have to do, everything is as simple as one choice. All you have to do is make one decision. One decision. Can you faintly grasp that peace and rest and joy and happiness must be related to the only one decision that one need ever make? Really, it's not even a decision. It's just an acceptance. What we want to look at is everything that seems to stand in the way of this acceptance. It's that simple. You need to be reminded that you think 1,000 choices are confronting you, when there is really only one to make. And even this but seems to be a choice. We want, this is W, Workbook 138.4. We want to be so thorough in tracing specific personal choices back to the false belief that underlies them all, that there is opening for the grand moment that seems to change everything and yet is changeless, this instant. The teaching I share is that enlightenment is available this very moment, and anything in one's mind that stands in the way of that recognition of enlightenment right now must first be questioned and then seen for what it is, illusion. Please don't get into comparing who is enlightened and who is not. Enlightenment is not personal. Just consider these ideas and the holiness of the intention to be clear. And I'm going to read that first paragraph again. Just say, and I mean, I want peace. I want it more than anything else. I'm going to drop all my masks. I see that in order to drop them, I'm going to have to look at them. I want to see the masks for what they are. I want to discern the false from the true, to be right-minded. What a precious opportunity this is. Can you think of anything more important than looking at one's own mind and examining the obstacles to this recognition? Is there anything that even comes close to that? This is a very precious opportunity. From our discussion, we have identified the belief that personal choices are choices between forms and images, specifics. So if one sees that there is no choice in form, wouldn't it follow that there would be just a watching or an observing, a state of bliss, a state of complete detachment? What bliss to stop trying to see choice where it isn't. So we look at the past or future. Friend one, I noticed that I still want to say that there is choice between form and spirit. David, do you understand this choice you speak of? This choice between form and spirit, to be clear about the distinction between form and content. That is the distinction we are investigating together. You believe choices are personal and between specifics. We have established that as our starting point. You believe choices are personal and between specifics. We have established that as our starting point. Form is the projection of specific thought forms, images. Form is the projection of mistaken thought. The end. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to read. Letting go of the mic. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
All right. Thank you so much. Hold on. All right. Thank you so much, Dolores Mabins. Wonderful reading, and somehow that just happened to cross my desk purely just in the nick of time to be included here, because what David Hofweis was saying in his book, and by the way, I will post a link to his book right now. They have a special, both this book and another book are being offered for $9.99. I told them, since they gave me the entire page instead of just that section, that I would put that up. So if you are interested in the David Hofmeister Classic Collection, go to that particular link, and I think that's a real bargain, his two books for $9.99. The last paragraph that was being read by Dolores is really all about discernment. And actually, even though we're talking about peace, and all I want is the peace of God, and we also know that there's a lesson in the Course, and everybody knows the lesson. It's lesson 185, and it's one of the last 20 lessons in part one of the workbook, and the author of that Course in Miracles workbook lesson says any one of those last 20 lessons from 181 to 200 is the entire course if you totally understand it. I'm just going to read a couple of the lines from it, so we understand why discernment is so powerful and so important. And for those people who, of course, have taken the ministerial preparation program with Regina Dawn Akers, know that the very first of the classes is on discernment, and I was glad that I did take it. And I got to tell you, it's probably once you have mastered discernment, that's really the entire course in a way, because it's really about content and not about form. So when I'm about to read here from lesson 185, I want the peace of God. I want the peace of God. It'll tell you, you know, many people say that, but to say it is nothing, but to mean it is everything. Now you can't say it and mean it. If, as a matter of fact, there's anything else that you want, which means you're still stuck in form. So let me start by saying, to say these words is nothing. This is from Lesson 185. But to mean these words is everything. Yes, I want the peace of God. If you could but mean them for just an instant, there would be no further sorrow possible for you in any form, in any place, or any time. Heaven would be completely given back to full awareness, memory of God, entirely restored, the resurrection of all creation fully recognized. Fully recognized. Now, what is enlightenment? The Course says, enlightenment is not a change, it's a recognition. It's a recognition that you don't really want anything but the peace of God. Because that's the only thing you truly want that has any meaning in this world that is meaningless. It's the willingness to return the mind to its source, to its home, to remember the truth of what I am. Now, what does all this have to do with the Supreme Court decision and things like that and equality? Well, the Course tells us in very simple terms, yes, peace, the peace of God, which is your get out of jail free card, your immunity, to be immune from all things of this world so that nothing in this world can touch you. To remember that you are the awareness, that you are the one who is watching this, who is observing. You're not the figure in the dream. You're not the specific person who you think you are, this personal person that the ego believes it is and wants to know more about itself and others so it can be better and more than it is right now. So as long as you're into measurements, as long as you're into better and more and worse and good and bad and right and wrong, all those specifics, all those judgments that have to be made, there is no peace. The mind is very active. It must remember all these facts, quote unquote, that it thinks is true, so it can know how to do better, to be more, to be greater, to be seen and approved by others, to feel worthy. And of course, none of this is true. It is all self-deception. The Course very simply says, yes, the peace of God is the key to the kingdom. It's the way to remember the truth of what you are. But peace has one condition. And that condition must be wholly appreciated and included in the peace of God. And that condition is equality. Without equality, there is no peace. Without equality, there is conflict. Without equality, there is more or less. There is injustice. There is inequality. There is iniquity. There is unfairness. There is war. The war between the haves and the have-nots. Every war that's ever been fought in mankind's history has been fought because somebody has something that somebody else wants. And of course, if you're doing the Course, you know that if you think that someone has something that you don't have, or you think that you have something that someone else doesn't have, whatever it is that you think that you have or they have has no value to you whatsoever. The only thing that has value is that which is eternal. You find that in Lesson 133. I will not value what is valueless anymore. What is valuable belongs to me. Yes, I am as God created. I am the equal holy Son of God, and I share that with all. It's only in the sharing of holiness that makes it holy. That's what heaven is. Heaven is seeing all as the same, as equal in the one mind of God. It kind of brings up a couple of things I was thinking about as we take a look at what happened on Friday, and what was called a landmark decision. Some people have said there's only maybe two or three things that the Supreme Court has ever done that will go down in history hundreds and hundreds of years later, will be remembered. And the first, of course, was the 1954 School Board of Education versus Brown decision, where there was no more segregation or division, where all were seen as the same and equal under the law. And on Friday, we came up with the same thing, that there is no differences, no segregation, no differences in rights, that all have the perfect right to do as they wish to do, for they are seen as equal under the law. So it reminds me of the two things that have been going through my mind as the two megatrends, and some of you are familiar with the word a megatrend. You know, there are ripples that happen every day, every week, every month, every year, and those ripples, you know, sometimes become waves, and they usually do. But a megatrend is a major wave that will discern what the future is going to be like. It's a megatrend. And the two megatrends that I see is happening is, one is on equality, which is what we're speaking about, and the other is on privacy or secrecy. In truth, there is no privacy, secrecy, or separate or personal minds. In truth, that we are all of one mind, that all is known by all, equally at the same time, in the same instant, and this is the truth, for there's only one mind. This is what the makers of the Constitution spoke about, for a more perfect union, and that's exactly what President Obama said on Friday. Yes, this is making it a more perfect union. A more perfect union is one where there is no separation, no personal desires and thoughts one over the other, where one gets to choose one over the other, which is another word for specialness, which is another word for sacrifice. And as it tells you in Lesson 187, sacrifice remains the one idea behind all of the world's pains and ills, grief, misery, scarcity, starvation, poverty, yes, and even death. The one idea behind it all is sacrifice, which is another word for differences, which is another word for specialness. They all say the same thing. And there really is no specialness, that we are all created equal. All created equal. That's exactly what it says in the Declaration of Independence. So, the megatrends of this world consciousness is heading towards a consciousness of equality, of oneness, of openness. If you need to have the separate events that happen along the way to begin to realize that this is where we're all headed, that's fine. But it is possible to recognize that if I am, and as Awakening Together's core principles talk about, we all have equal access to the one truth. We realize that everyone is equal, and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. So yes, in truth, we all have the same. And the only thing that has any real value is that which is eternal. If you are valuing anything of this world, which usually we do when we think of ourselves as a body, and the body certainly needs things, it's needy, it feels it needs to sustain itself, it needs to survive, it needs to do. All those things are the teachings of a thought system that sees itself as separate and apart from totality, from wholeness. Yet, what is the one thing, bringing us back to how do we get here where I can realize who I am and not as I used to think of myself in the past? And the one idea from A Course in Miracles that has spoken to me over many, many, many years, and I've heartily encouraged all that have come to this room to use it, especially when someone once asked, how would you like to become one of the teachers of God, one of the presenters here in the room? And this room itself has always been one of those, I'll use the word, a bastion of equality, a place where all are invited to become one of the teachers of God, one of the ministers of God, because in lesson 154 it says, I am among the ministers of God. But that hasn't always been seen, even by those who basically do practice the Course. Yes, you can go to many places in this world where you see the same teachers teaching the same thing over and over, and many people come there and actually go there thinking that they're going to get something from somebody that they don't have. The Song of Prayer, section 3, which I talk about a lot here, is called Healing, Healing to Destroy. Forgiveness to Destroy. No, healing for sacrifice. It's called Healing to Separate. Healing to Separate. And what it says is, if you think that someone has something that you don't have, that you're going to go listen to them, sit at their feet, hoping that what you're going to get from them, because they know more than you, will you ever become equal? And the answer is, how can that be? If you start out by being unequal, you cannot ever become equal. Because if you consider yourself as less, you cannot become equal from the place that you're unequal. That's why equal is such a huge idea in the mind of the Son of God, in the child of God, that his worth is not established by his teaching or his learning or by anything or any event in this world, that his worth is established by the love of God before he ever came here. Now, the funny thing is, we all come here the same way. We all come here like, well, we seem to be born, we're given a name, it seems to be our passport. Maybe we're born into a family of means and that becomes our passport. Maybe we come born into a family of very little means, and then we have to really work hard to become worthy and to find our voice. And there's no one that doesn't really want to find our voice. There's no one that really wants to become worthy. No one. But unless I accept myself, unless I accept myself as the holy child of God, it's not going to happen. And what's the easiest way to accept myself as the holy child of God? Is to know what my mission is. See, we all come here equally. But if I identify with, I'm here to get for myself, to do unto others before they do unto me, to get mine before others get theirs, to bargain to get what I want at the expense of others, if that's what I identify with, then that's going to be how I see myself. And that self will always have to bargain and get and try more and more to become more worthy, more equal. There's no such thing as more equal. You either are or you are not. You're either the Holy Son of God or you're not. And all are the Holy Son of God. That doesn't mean that they're conscious of it yet. And it's come to me that the easiest way to become conscious that you are as God created is that very famous statement on page 28 of the textbook, which I call either the Healer's Prayer or the Teacher's Prayer. I think it's known as the Healer's Prayer by many who do the course, and I'm going to post it right here for all to see. I am here only to be truly helpful. That first line says it all. If I'm here only to be truly helpful, you could be sure that everything will be given to you to be truly helpful. You can be certain that everything is given to you on a need-to-know basis. Let's read the rest of this. And here's the most important sentence of all. I am here to represent Him who sent me. I'm here to represent Him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do because He who sent me will direct me. There is the discernment. I'm here to represent Him who sent me. So we all come into this world. Now, yes, God sends His teachers into this world. Without them, there would be very little hope, for this world has grown dim, dark, and weary. It's a very tired world. And the teachers bring the light. The teachers bring the light because we are all the light. But by my use of the word, I'm here only to be truly helpful. I'm here to represent Him who sent me. That's my passport. That's how I identify myself. I'm here with the Holy Spirit to represent my Creator and our co-creations together. I don't have to know what to say or what to do. That's all going to be given to me. I'm content to be wherever He wishes, knowing He goes there with me. I will be healed. I will be healed as I let Him teach me to heal. And yes, and when I'm healed, I will not be healed alone. So what's my identity? What does my passport read? Does my passport read that I'm out for myself? I have personal self-interest? Does my passport say that I have been sent here as a messenger, as a minister of God, as a teacher of God, to bring the light, that the light has come, that I am the light? Either one or the other. You can't have both. You can't sit on the fence here. Yes, sitting on the fence will hurt your private parts. Absolutely. Am I willing to say I'm here only to be truly helpful? Because in those words, you will be given everything that you need to be truly helpful. Every word will be given to you. Every thought. Yes. As the makers of the Constitution says, to ensure domestic tranquility, a more perfect union. Yes, you will be given whatever it is to ensure domestic tranquility and a more perfect union. I'm going to close out with something that came across my screen this morning. And when I say that everything is given to you, I'm really not joking. Everything really is given to you. I say this on a pretty regular basis that we all live in a sea of synchronicity within an ocean of love. It has been said that synchronicity is God being with you anonymously, that everything happens in divine order, by divine design. That the script is perfect. It's written perfectly. There's only one plan. And that's God's plan for salvation. And it works perfectly. And we're all here to watch it work. We're all here to see the happy ending. A happy outcome is sure. The happy dream is certain. And it does take trust. Yes, it takes faith and trust to realize that you are the Holy One that God has sent, and that you have been given everything that you need to fulfill your function in God's plan for salvation. One of the members of Open Minds on Facebook, which is a group which has been around for some 4 or 5 years, a guy by the name of Daniel Parmigiani. And he wrote a book, and his blog, the book is called The Magnificent Truths of Our Existence. The Magnificent Truths of Our Existence. And I happened to see this thing this morning. I said, wow, the Holy Spirit wants me to read from this. So it says, The Antidote to Shame, Finding Unconditional Self-Acceptance. Author Daniel Parmigiani talks about how to overcome our feelings of shame and sense of inferiority and how we learn to love ourselves unconditionally. He says, while guilt tortures us over the sins and mistakes of the past, the shame chastises us over our current perceived imperfections and inadequacies. As we all know, our self-criticism comes in many painful forms. We hate the imperfections of our bodies. We detest the weaknesses in our personalities. And we feel inadequate for our numerous character flaws. We feel inferior due to our appearance, social status, race, financial condition, or our lack of popularity. Well, I can so definitely identify with that. We continually judge ourselves and find ourselves lacking, flawed, incomplete, and undeserving of our own approval and love. He goes on to say, we work so hard to feel better about ourselves and earn our own self-approval. Every day we go out there and try hard to prove that we're okay, to prove that we're good enough, seeking countless certificates of approval from the world around us, just so we can finally believe that we deserve our own love. But are the victories we seek, the fame, the fortune, the physical beauty, the approval and the recognition from others, really worth anything? That's the question he asks, and this is his answer. True self-love can never be found through external successes and the approval of others, or even great fame and fortune. That's because true love is unconditional, dependent on nothing. Now that's the place where miracles happen. Yes, that's where miracles happen, because as it says in the Course of the 50 Course, of the 50 Miracle Principles in the Course of Miracles, which is how the Course starts out with, it says all but one of these 50 happened naturally. You don't have to do anything, but only number 7 are you responsible for. Only number 7 of the 50 miracle principles are you responsible for. Yes, you've got to own number 7, and you've got to clean it up. And this is what number 7 says. Miracles are everyone's right. What's a miracle? It's a shift to a place where you are pure and clean. Where you are God's Son forever and forever, loved forever. That you are holy beyond anything that this world can ever say about you. That you are the eternal. That you live forever. But that's only the first part of number 7. It says, miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first. Purification is necessary. Well, who's going to be the one to purify? Going back to what Dolores Mabins was reading, you know, from David Hoffmeister's book, this is what it said. It said, you have to look at the mass. You have to look at the mass and see that what those masks represent. They are things that we believe to be true about ourselves and that are not true. And,
this is what David says. I'm going to put it up just one more time, because unless you look at the mass, you're not doing the one thing that you're asked to do, which is purification. Just saying, mean,
I want the peace. I want peace. I want it more than anything else. I'm going to drop all my masks. I see that in order to drop them, I'm going to have to look at them. I want to see the masks for what they are. I want to discern the false from the true, to be right-minded. What a precious opportunity this is. Yeah, unless you look at what you think you are, the disguise, just like every brother here has a disguise. And actually, everyone here is here for our healing. Everyone. Especially the ones that you don't think are here for your healing. They are your saviors. But you have to look at your own. That's where the purification comes from. Miracles are everyone's right reminds me of that famous Rumi saying, beyond the ideas of right doing and wrong doing and good and bad, there's a field, and I'll meet you there. That field is that quantum field of miracles, where nothing, where no laws of this world have any place at all. That's where lesson number 76, I'm under no laws but the laws of God, actually live and reside. I live in a world of miracles, a forgiven world. Do I want that world, or do I want the world where sin and blame and shame and guilt seem to be very real, where I can't even love myself because I don't think I'm worthy of being loved? So I'm living either in a world that makes me wrong, makes others right, or even if I think that I'm right and making others wrong, I'm still in the same world. No wonder Benny Silverman says, lesson 128 is one of his favorite lessons. There's nothing in this world I want. And that brings us back to lesson 185. All I want is the peace of God. It says to say this is one thing, but to mean it is everything. If you only meant it for just one instant, you would never be bothered by anything again. So what is it that you truly want? I'll just continue this, just finish this out, and then we'll close it out. We start our lives without labels or judgments, but are trained from a very young age to see others as better or worse than us, superior or inferior. The only way to true, unconditional love towards yourself and others is to return to that original state of unconditional acceptance that we are naturally born with. Only when all judgment ends and we stop imagining others as better or worse than us does our inner battle end and inner peace begin. How you feel about yourself depends completely on how you perceive yourself. Perceive yourself as flawed and incomplete, and you will struggle your entire life trying to prove yourself worthy of your own love. Perceive yourself as inferior to others, and you imprison yourself in a hell of depression and low self-esteem. See yourself instead as the flawless, innocent, and eternal spiritual being that you really are, and you will finally allow yourself the complete and unquestioned self-acceptance that was your birthright all along. I am not a body. I am free. I am still as God created. And I know that's true of everyone here, and everyone here knows that it's true of themselves, and everyone here knows that's true of all. And as I begin to accept that, as I begin to integrate it, as I begin to feel it, as I begin to radiate that, I remember the truth of what I am. I remember the truth of what I am. All I want is the peace of God. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Regina, for having Awakening Together. Thank you all for joining here in the room and on the radio. And right now we're going to take some time out, a little more music from Scott Grace Kallikstein, as we ask all who would like to make a donation to Awaken Together, to please do that. Don't do it because you're asked to do it. Do it from your heart because you really see the value that you are receiving here. You see the value. You are what's valuable. When you see what's valuable, you are already valuable. And this is of eternal value to you. Okay, turning this mic over to music. And please put up the link. Thank you so much, Sharon. Please, Barb, put up the link to make a donation. Thanks. Mike, I assume that we're all back together again, and this is live. And now we come into that time of anybody who feels inspired maybe to share from anything you heard this morning. Maybe you have any questions about anything that was said here this morning. So we have the next 15 minutes to do that. And following that, we have a full hour of a fellowship ahead of us. So, you know, anyone want the mic? Anyone have anything that all they want to share? This is the opportunity to do all of that. Again, yes. Well, Lynn has her thumb up. Regina has her hand up. So, Regina, turning this mic over to you. Thank you so much.
Haha, I guess hand trumps thumb. Yeah, when you were sharing, of course, the truly helpful prayer, you know, I represent him who sent me. It reminded me of Awakening Together's teaching on being a spiritual counselor or a spiritual mentor. In Awakening Together policies, only an ordained minister is to be a spiritual counselor or a spiritual mentor. And one reason for that is that's the law in some states. And, of course, we, in Awakening Together, we always follow the law. So we don't recognize anyone other than an ordained minister as a spiritual counselor or a spiritual mentor. And another thing that's required under the law is that the church itself is responsible for setting forth policies regarding mentoring or counseling. And so we have set forth some policies, and when someone is going through MPP, one of the classes they take is called Being an Awakening Together Minister, and that teaches the policies regarding being a spiritual counselor or a spiritual mentor. One of the many things that we teach in that class is just because you're an ordained minister doesn't mean that you should be a mentor or a counselor, that you really need to check within yourself and see if that is your calling. And one way you will recognize that you are kind of intended to be a spiritual counselor or a mentor is that the spiritual counseling or mentoring does not come from you. It is completely spontaneous and right-minded. And in fact, we say if you find yourself really thinking too much about spiritual counseling sessions when you're not in the session, you know, like let's say you talked to someone, you heard what their perceived problem is, and then before your next meeting, you're thinking about them all the time, thinking about different things you might say to them the next time you talk to them. You really shouldn't be a spiritual counselor or mentor, at least not at that point, because you haven't learned to allow, you know, what A Course in Miracles would say, Christ to speak through you, or Holy Spirit to speak through you. You haven't learned to allow that complete spiritual spontaneity. And in fact, what's going to come through naturally is some of your own thinking, some of your own ego projection. And in fact, one thing that I came across recently, just within myself, while in contemplation, was this thought that's kind of stuck with me. And the thought says, it is the soul's innate freedom to be completely spontaneous without ego projection. And I love that line. It's just stuck with me. Again, the line is, it is the soul's innate freedom, to be completely spontaneous without ego projection. So one thing that we really want to watch is that thinking that we're doing when we're not in a particular situation, that pre-planning of what we might say, even when we think to be truly helpful, right? Because that thinking of what we might say is the ego projection. And it is the soul's innate freedom to be completely spontaneous without ego projection. And that's being truly helpful. Thank you, Dove, for letting me share. Bye.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Regina. Actually, when you were sharing that, reminded me of the other pamphlet of Course in Miracles called Psychotherapy, Its Purpose, Practice, and Process. And, you know, not that I'm going to reduce the 20-something pages down to one line, but basically it says healing happens when the therapist stops judging the patient. And, of course, only the ego thinks that what it knows is more important than anything else. And no, healing is done when there is a joining. When there's a joining, you can't join when you're judging. You're either joined or you're judging. You can't do both at the same time. That's kind of thinking you could sit on the fence, and you can't sit on the fence. Okay, thank you so much, Regina. Barb says, planning is a defense against the truth. Absolutely. That's famous lesson 135, the longest lesson in the course. There's 25 paragraphs in that lesson, and I think 7 of them are about a healed mind does not plan. I think that's pretty much what's being said here today. As long as I don't think I'm equal, I'm going to need all the crutches, all the things that basically are going to support me and give me what it is that I need. And yes, and anyone who's ever taken this microphone, certainly I'm talking about myself, I don't have to talk about anyone else. Yeah, you think you need something, like I just read a few things, both from A Course in Miracles and from Daniel Parmigiano's book. But it doesn't really matter. Yes, you use these things, but the real content is in your heart. The real love that's flowing through comes through you. You know, first the message is given to you. The inspiration is given to you for you to share it with all. That's exactly what it says in lessons 154 and 155. I am among the ministers of God, and let me step back and let him lead the way. If I'm leading the way, I'm going to have to do a lot of my own planning. If I step back and let him lead the way, well, everything is going to be given to me. Everything's going to be given to me. Okay, I see Lynn's hands up, and I see Christina. Thank you so much, Lynn, and then Christina.
All right, thank you, Dove, and beautiful, beautiful teaching this morning. I'm enjoying all of it. What I've come to realize that's really been very helpful to me in, you know, as I'm seeing more and more and more of what I see in the world is only a projection of my mind, which doesn't mean that it is a small thing, believe me. It means that is all it is. It is only a projection of my own thinking. And, you know, what I've seen and what I just realized really yesterday, I was talking about it somewhat this morning, is that all the time that I go through saying, gee, I wish I could heal this relationship. I wish I could change the way I'm, you know, this thing is happening. I wish this person liked me, or I wish this person wasn't so antagonistic towards me, which happens a lot, surprisingly. I don't understand that. why would I feel like people were being antagonistic toward me or less than loving? And the irony of it all is because that is what I choose. That's what I'm choosing. Is I'm the one who's being antagonistic. I'm the one who is being less than loving. And so if I really want to heal that, the only way that I can heal that is to change the way I am doing it, the way that I am thinking. And I can't, of course, do that on my own because that would be the ego trying to make the ego a better ego. I really do have to go to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to be the one who actually guides me in the changing of my mind. And when that happens, what I see is there is a great depth of roots that have dug down into parts of my thinking that go much deeper than what I would have if I was just going to hack it off at the surface, like shaving every day or something. The roots are still there and will continue to grow back when you allow the Holy Spirit to be the one that guides you in this. Then you will get to the root of all of it and let go. And so knowing that that is my choice, then I'm looking at these relationships that I feel are less than loving, and each and every single one of them, I am asking the Holy Spirit to show me what I need to do to heal that, and to show me what it is in me that is projecting or making that happen. So I'm finding, and that is choosing peace. That is choosing the miracle. And that is, you have to do it every day, all the time. So I'm going to let go of the mic. Christina, I see, and I see also Dolores. And please feel free to go on into the next hour if folks have things to say. So, Christina, the mic is all yours.
Hi, everybody. Dove, everyone. Especially, thank you so much for sharing. What a beautiful, beautiful service this morning. Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm so, so grateful for everyone sharing, because it's just so powerful that, when I ask God for help, excuse me. And I really, really, truly feel the Spirit just moving within my heart and my mind and my whole being. The gratitude just like flows, and the tears of gratitude. Yeah, breathe in, breathe out. Thank you, Father. Just flows, because all that was said is just, to me, it just says like, we're always, in the past, I was always just the hardest on myself. Just the hardest on myself. Because whenever I criticize anybody else or any situation or anything, the bottom line is, I'm hurting myself. And that, and that is not necessary. It is not necessary. And it takes great vigilance, for me just to look at it and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I really want to see things differently. I really want to feel things differently. I really want to feel the love of God within me, lesson 189, because I know that is the truth about me. That's the truth of that I am the Holy Child of God Himself, and that I am greatly loved, and I have the peace of God within me. And that's the truth. This is the truth about me. And the picture changes, within me. And then I see things differently because I've connected to the power and the presence of God that is within me. And my perception seems to change because I connected to my higher power. You know, I connected to the power in the presence of God that is within me. And how grateful. Thank you so much. And God bless each and every one of you. May you be so blessed, because you already are and I already am. Bye.
Good morning, everyone. I don't know why I'm picking up the mic. I just feel compelled to. Dove, thank you so much for your wonderful sharing. I really could relate to a lot of it, and especially you were talking about the, you're always talking about equality and separation, and then you mentioned also about that worthlessness, the guy's book, and I feel that impulse all the time, every day, that I'm trying to prove myself in some way to make myself feel better. But, you know, the MPP class has helped me a lot with that, because we dealt a lot with self-inquiry and the worthlessness issue. So a lot of that is lifting, and when I feel that feeling coming on, you know, I can, because of the MPP class, I think the major miracle from that is being able to tap into awareness, that when I start to feel that tightness, I know that I'm thinking. I know that I'm thinking, and I know that I need to make a shift and let go. And that's when I go into awareness, because I know now, you know, and one of the things that Awakening Together and MPP has helped me with is I can kind of know when I'm thinking. And I'm just so grateful. You know, when I got into the MPP, I had no plan. I really still have no plans. I don't like labels. So I don't like the label minister. I feel like labels sometimes are limitations for me. So, but I do kind of believe that, I guess, everyone is always a minister of God. And that, but just the label of it, you know, for me, myself, calling myself Minister Dolores just kind of wouldn't work for me. But I have to say that I don't know where I was going with any of this. You know, I started drinking and using drugs at the age of 13. And proceeded to try a lot of different cures, geographical cures, other forms of cures for whatever was ailing me inside. And now I'm losing my train of thought where my point was going with that, but I'm grateful that I thought that when I hit my bottom with the whole drugs and alcohol, that I thought that, my life was over, and that, you know, and wanted to commit suicide and stuff. But now I know that it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because it put me on this course of where coming here to this room, you know, and I go through the 12 steps, you know, I go through the, I go to Narcotics Anonymous, that could only take me so far. And then Holy Spirit guided me to MPP and to Awakening Together. And I would have never thought that there was so much more to that my, I guess, that there was so much more to me than what I knew. I don't know if I'm coming across okay. But anyway, also, you know, I just want to say again, because so this group that I joined after the Baltimore uprisings that also Holy Spirit directed me to is so healing for me to be a part of people who are descendants of slaveholders. And quite possibly, I know that I am descendant of slaves because my family's from Arkansas and they chop cotton. To come to the table with these people and to see that their legacy had caused them so much pain as well. And then to also that the guilt that they have felt, that everybody just feels this crazy guilt, and that the thing that I can bring is that no one has to feel guilty. It's just a healing thing, you know. It's just so healing, and to see that really that we are all the same, but everybody brings these I'm different for this reason, I'm different for this reason, I'm different, and no one is different, you know. I don't know. It's just, not, I'm so grateful for this room to, it's a miracle in my life, and I just have so much more peace in my life today because of it. And I'm letting go of the mic. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much, Dolores. That was very clear, by the way. Everyone heard exactly what was in your heart. And I think something you said there, I'm just going to close out with this. Yeah, we all go out into the world. Some of us want to be the best teachers, the best doctors, the best lawyers, the best lovers. Have to keep proving ourselves every single day. And that's exactly what today was all about. We are all equal and worthy without anything that we can ever say or do in this world. We are the equal sons of God. All are created equal. This has always been true. All are given everything. This has always been true. No one has ever lacked anything except if he is fooled, deceived by his own disguise. Yeah, I'm not the techie guy in this room. No, I'm not the lover in this room. I'm not the teacher in this room. No, I am the Holy Son of God himself, and so are all my brothers and sisters the same. Make this year different by making it all the same. Thank you all for listening. I'm going to be turning this mic over to you, Lynn, for the next hour of fellowship. It has been really a wonderful privilege to be here as a minister every third Sunday. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, everyone. Your beautiful, beautiful morning with you, Dove. I loved what you were sharing. I wanted to share, you know, my father transitioned, it was a week ago Tuesday, and I'm finding that it's very, hello Alex, I'm finding that something that I got from Adeshante, but I'm experiencing it myself, and that is when you realize what you are now, the issue of death will solve itself. So what happens naturally. And for me, I can feel that process happening. You know, the more I get into the self, who I am, that we're all one, and I'm not just talking, I'm really feeling it, you know, and that in the transitioning of my dad, he was going through a lot of changes. And I was also reading something that Adeshante wrote about his dad, and it was similar. Like, I thought he could have, like, just fought it, but he surrendered. And he became the most loving presence. Of course, it's all coming from my mind. However, you know, to observe him and to see that he was a little scared, you know, he didn't know if it was going to hurt, you know, and stuff like it goes through the ego mind. But I could honestly say that, you know, it's it's sad and I'm grieving and at times it comes up, but I'm not judging it. So that's the whole point here. Because I came here as a person, you know, to find out who I truly am. But I want to repeat that again. When you realize what you are now, the issue of death will solve itself. So everything, everything is natural in this process. It's just a matter of getting out of the way. Thanks so much.
All right, all right, all right.